I was one of those persons challenged to answer the question from Jesus, who do you say that I am? Well, I thought I knew who I was, John, a fisherman, brother to James, son of Zebedee. Then one day while my brother and I were fishing, Jesus shows up and says, come, follow me. So I did. There was something compelling about this man, and it began the most amazing journey of my life. It became quickly clear that Jesus was a special messenger sent from above to share the love and grace of God. This was truly God living among us in the flesh, speaking truth and wisdom and insight like none had ever heard. I began to understand that God so loved the world, all of us, that he was willing to send his only son to give the gift of eternal life. Redeeming love was the prevailing theme of this man's life during those three brief years that I shared with him. He loved us, he loved me, and he loved his heavenly Father with a devotion that was unparalleled to anything I had ever seen. How could I not love him back? The things I witnessed with my own eyes, they were unbelievable. I saw Jesus turn water into wine. I saw people healed in miraculous ways. I saw him feed thousands with just a few loaves of bread and fish. He made the blind see, raised the dead to life, walked on water, calmed stormy seas, and he shared the love of God with all of us in these acts.
More than Jesus called me, Peter, the rock. Some rock. I was like sand in the heat of life's battles. I once sliced off a man's ear in anger. I often said and did things I later regretted. I even denied that I knew Jesus. I didn't mean to do it. Didn't want to do it. I believed in him. I knew his message was true, for I had witnessed so much as lives were dramatically changed by the power of his teaching. Jesus was constantly criticized by the religious leaders. They were skeptical of his claims and characterized his miracles as deception. How can the Messiah come from our own community, they would ask. They were like blind men who couldn't see the truth standing in front of them. They rarely agreed on religious matters, but on one thing they did agree. Jesus was their enemy, for he was a threat to them and their followers. Jesus warned those of us who were close to him to be careful around them, to not be deceived. One day Jesus asked us, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, I responded impulsively, as I'm known to do, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This wasn't something I needed time to think about. I'd had a front row seat to this man's life and ministry. I knew his heart. I knew my words were true.
This Jesus? Well, I thought I knew. He had stopped by our home in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, many times to eat, to rest, and to talk. But this visit was different. We were mourning the death of my brother Lazarus. It had been 4 days since Jesus arrived. My sister Martha had gone out to greet the teacher and then come back to me. "Mary, Jesus wants to see you." I got up hastily and went out to greet him. "Where's Lazarus?" Jesus asked. We took him to the tomb. Against our wishes, he insisted that we roll the stone aside. Then he shouts, "Lazarus, come out." It was a moment that still shakes the very core of my being. My brother, my dead brother, walks out of the tomb as alive as any of us. As you expect, word traveled quickly. People everywhere were clamoring to see this man who could raise the dead to life. It wasn't long before Jesus returned to our home in Bethany. It was just before the Passover feast, and we would soon be joining thousands of others in Jerusalem for this grand festival. We ate together, including Lazarus, and celebrated God's faithfulness. A few days later, we caught up with Jesus as he was entering Jerusalem. There was an unbelievable excitement in the crowd. It was like being in the presence of royalty or a military hero. The crowds cheered as Jesus entered the city riding on a donkey's colt. The people waved palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna to the King of Glory!"
Rejoice around your throne.
And go.
My name is Pilate. As governor of Judea, the city of Jerusalem was in my jurisdiction. I didn't know much about this Jesus, but the stories about him were wild and conflicting. To say the least, some said he was God's own son. Others claimed he could raise the dead to life, make the blind see, and even walk on water. Still, others said he was a threat to the people in my province, and even to Rome. These religious Jewish leaders captured and brought him to me, seeking my permission to kill him. He didn't seem all that different as he stood before me. He hardly answered my questions. I had the power to release him, to save him from the death sentence his accusers were seeking. There was something disturbing about this whole scene. Though I knew little about Jesus, I certainly found nothing in the allegations, nothing in his actions or demeanor, nothing over which to send him to a criminal's death on a cross. That's what I told his accusers. I find him guilty of no crime. 3 times I tried to release him, but these people were relentless. I had no choice. I finally turned him over to his accusers and let them have their way. But I made it clear to them I was washing my hands of this whole ordeal. I was innocent of this man's blood. I'm still not exactly sure who this Jesus was, but as he was led away, it was like watching an innocent lamb being led to slaughter. There was a heaviness surrounding him at that moment, and me, for that matter. It was like he carried the weight of the entire world upon his shoulders.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined above.
Since far. As a member of the Jewish High Council, I had been a part of the discussion and decision about what to do with Jesus. My name is Joseph from the town of Arimathea. I had heard the stories and seen the people impacted by this man's life. I didn't know what to make of all this, but I knew I couldn't agree with my colleagues when they decided to sentence Jesus to death. To say the least, mine was a minority opinion. As I stood there on that hill and observed this crucifixion of this so-called criminal, I was struck by the irony of this whole event. Here was a man who only a few days ago had been hailed as king when he entered Jerusalem with crowds surrounding and cheering him. Where were those people now? They had all deserted him and gone into hiding. Yet as I observed his final hours, it was as if he were completing a mission he had been called to do. He offered some reassuring words to a faithful few who stood nearby, and even one of the criminals executed alongside of him. Then just before he died, he shouted these words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Chills ran down my spine. I went to Pilate asking for permission to place the body of Jesus in a tomb I owned. It was the least I could do before the Sabbath. I was still tainted with guilt, I suppose, since I had been part of a group responsible for his death. Questions about this man still haunt me, but in my heart of hearts, I cannot dismiss the words of one Roman officer standing near the cross as Jesus died. Truly, this was God's Son.
Thank you. It was early Sunday morning. It had seemed just like weeks since I had stood at the cross and watched Jesus die. As I headed to the tomb to anoint the body of my Lord Jesus, my mind raced with memories. Not only had Jesus freed me from my own demons, but I watched him deliver so many people from their own miseries. He had not only healed and cured others, but more importantly, he had transformed lives by his compelling message of love and grace. Now it seemed like all had this been for nothing. When I arrived at the tomb, I found that the stone had been rolled away. I ran to Peter and John. They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they put him. They ran to the tomb, confirming my words. Then they returned to the others to tell them. As I stood outside the tomb weeping, a man that I thought was the gardener approached me. He said, "Why are you crying?" "Sir," I responded, "if you have taken the Lord Jesus away, please tell me where you took him." "Mary," he gently replied. That was all he needed to say. It was as if the scales had been removed from my eyes instantly. Any questions, any doubts that I had were gone. I knew this was Jesus, the living Christ, standing before me. The exhilaration in my spirit propelled me back to the disciples. "He's alive! Jesus is risen from the dead! I have seen him! Praise be to God, Jesus is alive!"
Amazing love, how can it be that God would send his son for me? On the cross he bled and died, a willing, loving sacrifice. The fall of his placed him there, only love for our despair. Now I stand embraced by grace, surrender to my place. I will sing of my Redeemer. I will sing of his amazing love. I will sing of my Redeemer. He paid the debt he did not own. He died there in my place. I will sing.
Every day I'm amazed that he would suffer for my sake. He gives daily all his grace, forgiveness for my mistake. He lives, he died, he lives again. I live because he took my sin. One day to see him face to face, forever I'll sing his praise.
I will sing of my Redeemer. I will sing of his amazing love. I will sing of my Redeemer. He paid. He died there in my place.
concludes our program at this time. As far as the program at this time, I'd like to call the ushers up for the offering, please. Stanley, will you lead us in prayer?
Father God, in heaven, we thank you, Lord, Master, for you today, Master. We thank you for the privilege of your house this morning. For each and every one of us that's at this time, to worship you in truth with the Spirit. Father, we thank you most of all for the reason that we worship you in truth and living sacrifice. Father, we just want to thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace, for everything you can do for us, God. We thank you for the privilege of giving back to you now, fortunate that you blessed us with. We ask you, Lord, that this take and use of your God for the burden of your kingdom. May everything that says that you today be honored and glorified in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our benediction song, Sarah's going to come and do a song for us, a benediction. If you feel like you wouldn't like to come to the altar at any time, just come during that song or whatever. I'm going to ask Brother I.B. to come up. If he wants to say anything, he can at this time. And all. Come on, Brother I.B. Might want to say.
We appreciate it very much, Brother Orville, and everybody made this possible this day that we might be able to glorify Jesus here. And as I said, this is a day that the Lord has made for us and each and every one of us, and we want to thank each one for being here this day and making this possible that we have a great day in the Lord. And tonight I'll be preaching on He Rose Again. And we have a baptism tonight, and if you really want to see what the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ symbolizes in baptism is what it's all about. And I'll be preaching on that tonight. A young man is going to be baptized tonight. So I hope each and every one of you is able to come back and be with us tonight, and that we might be able to worship Jesus Christ this evening. And also, again, for everyone that made this possible this day, we want to thank you, especially for Brother Orville and all the ones that took part in this great play. Sarah. This time to pray. Door of the church is open. Till the end, with mercy's pen on you. What kind of king would choose to wear a crown that bleeds and scars to win my heart? What kind of love tells me I'm the reason he can't stay inside the grave? You, is it you standing here before my eyes? Every part of my heart cries alive, alive. Look what mercy's overcome. Death has lost and love has won. Alive, alive. Hallelujah, risen Lord, the only one I fall before. I am His because He one name. What other heart
lost and love has won.
A young lady had come a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, and Brother Wayne Carter's class, Rebecca Loach, and she asked Jesus Christ to come in her heart and to save her. And Rebecca, are you in or are you out?
In.
She says she's in. I know she's in because she's asked Jesus Christ. And these, her mother and the father here with us, and also these two young girls, they all made a help her to get to find Jesus Christ, and they made it possible. And we want to thank our mother and our father for bringing her to church, and this a reward for bringing your children to church, that they might grow into Jesus Christ. We know they're going to grow up. We just hope they grow into Jesus Christ. So at this time, and her receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, do I hear a motion that we accept her for candidate for baptism? Do I hear a second? All in favor of saying amen. All right, this time we'd ask you to stand, please, and we'll be dismissed. We ask her mother and father, and also these two young ladies go to the door with her, and y'all might shake her hand, tell her how much you appreciate her and love her, and you will support her at this time. Would y'all go to the door, please?